for a word of introduction this morning. I think I am going to do this, so I'm going to go to a proverb that is interesting, and it's Proverbs 21, verse 9, and this I talked about this in our Dundalk Bible study and a little bit Friday night here, and it says here, it's better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Wow. It's like, where do we start with that? I really think that this verse speaks to us about the place that we set our hearts and our minds. And I know that I am not a person who enjoys being up high. You know, I'm not quite sure where it got to me, but like, I have a hard time driving over the Bay Bridge, especially the eastbound. You know how the Bay Bridge like sort of goes straight out that way and then curves like that? Anyone have a problem driving that? Yes, okay, so there you go. When I was 16, 17 and I had my muscle car, I had like a 67 Camaro with a big engine. I could just like fire it up and just, you know, and then you're on the Eastern Shore. But now it's like you're watching that. I guess you become more aware of things as things go on. You know, this proverb is twice. It's in the 25th chapter also, the same exact wording. And I'm not going to focus so much on the brawling part of this. And I'm sorry for the way it says a brawling woman, but I think anyone could be a brawling person. And I think it's saying something to us about this time that we are, you know, any time that we are living in. I'm saying it's, you know, all of these times, like they go in cycles. We sort of think that this is the only time of crisis that has ever been in the world system for the church. I teach church history. There's been a lot of situations like this, you know. And I'm teaching American history to a bunch of 16-year-olds now. And it's kind of interesting as I review like some of our you know, some of the heroes of the American experiment as they put it together. You know, George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, other ones that are thinking about it. And you understand the kind of crises that humanity has always lived under, because it has always been about this, that there is the high place, there is the narrow place, there is the place of walking circumspectly on the corner of the rooftop, or there is the wide room where there's a lot of opinions and a lot of wrestling and a lot of trauma and a lot of corners. See, it says a wide room. It doesn't say it's a round room. It's like, you know, that's the, when we enter into a place of like, you know, what they call toleration or just, what is it? What's the right word I'm thinking? Just being relevant and being open to all kinds of ideas. Don't be so narrow, they say. And Jesus is saying there's a narrow way and there's only a few of you that find it. And it's the only way that leads unto life. There's a corner of the housetop where you can see everything and you're closer to heaven up there. You're closer to where God is and you have vision. But if you are in a space in a wide room, there's always someone coming out of another door just to make your life trouble. It's like, it is much, you know, it's the Garden of Eden was the corner of a housetop. God spoke. There was chaos. There was darkness. There was emptiness. God spoke. He reached into the dirt. He formed man. He took something from man. He formed woman for man. And he put them in this place. It's a place that was close to the fellowship of God. It was a place of the presence of God. All manner of tree was there to give them what they needed. And they had fellowship with the Lord. There was that one tree. And it's interesting. That one tree is the, well, if you come and take of this tree, if you allow yourself to be your experience and your intellect to be expanded, life will be so much better. What a great lie that was. I mean, not a great lie. What a diabolical lie that was. If you just allow yourself to open yourself up to other kinds of understandings, wow, just what will you be? You'll be a disaster. That's what you'll be. You'll be a disaster. It's like, ask a painter. When you start mixing the colors together and they start blending together, what do you get? You get an ugly shade of gray. That's what happens, right? Right, Miss? Right? Artist, and I'm looking at one of the art teachers over here. She's nodding her head. Yes, it's an ugly shade of gray. Gray only looks good on the head of a person following God later in their life. It's amazing. That's a proverb right there. That's a proverb also. That's a proverb also. That's amazing. Also on your chinny chin chin too there, if you got that, you know. But, you know, this is the thing. Like Adam and Eve, they bought it. I'm sorry to say. They bought the lie that if you expand yourself into this extra knowledge, then everything will be better, when God is saying there's a corner and it's this garden and it's in fellowship with me. And if you can give yourself to focus and direction and circumspection, as it says in Ephesians, walk circumspectly. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. The Lord delights in the way of the steps of a good man who walks on the corner of the housetop. You know, down in that wide room, you'll get cornered. You will get cornered. We will get cornered in that wide room. It's much better. The world, everyone about us are looking for people who know how to stand on the corner. They know how to see. We know a vision. We understand like the law of God in a certain way, not in the law of God in terms of our morality and our energy, our own human capacity to keep it, but the law of the Lord as we are guided by the Spirit. Because the Spirit can be like, you know, the Spirit is amazing in saying, you know what, I can close your ears to certain things. That's amazing. And then let's take it the next step. I can close your mouth so you don't say things at the wrong time in the wrong way. It's like, this is the corner of the housetop. It's like God gave us these commandments that are really righteous, and they are really effective if we think about it. If I have him as the Lord of all, then everything is well with my soul. And if you go all the way down to commandment number 10, if I have him, then why would I ever covet? Number 10 is you shall not covet. If I have him, then all of it comes together. I have him. I don't take his name in vain. I don't have to make silly things to worship and bow down with my own hands. I don't kill. I don't think about taking somebody's wife. I don't lie about my brother. I don't covet. It's like I'm on the corner of the housetop. God gave me like a very right angle to look at. Look to me and walk circumspectly, and you'll be amazed. And that brawling woman, she'll tire herself out. That little thing that wrestles inside of all of us that tries to get our attention, the emotional, the anxiety, those kind of things, the things that come from eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we can bring them before the Lord, lay them at the foot of the cross. We can live with him as our only true portion and see things that other people can't see. And we are necessary. We are so necessary to the health of what happens on this planet. It's us. It's us who know the Lord, who follow him, who stand on the corner. We don't need to wrestle that fight. God can fight that fight. We can stay up there where the air is clear and we're close to him. And let's think about it. Let's walk with him. Let's think about it, especially in these days as we pray, especially in these days as we go to vote, especially in these days as we think about the people around us and the things that they say. Yes, we need to be up high. We need to be in the narrow way. We need to walk. Our steps are ordered by the Lord. We need it. The world needs it. It's the only answer, really, for anything. All right, so stay out of that wide room, avoid that brawling thing, and walk with him. Okay, I'm going to pray for the offering. They're going to pass the buckets as they play a song for you, and then Pastor Shibeli will preach. So, Lord, we thank you for this time together. We live in you. We know your direction. You keep us seated above. You keep us balanced. You keep us right with you. We thank you, Lord, for just your grace and your peace and your mercy. Bless this offering. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've provided for us, the provision of grace, the provision of life, your mercy that's new every morning, and all of these gifts and offerings and tithes that are going in this morning, let them be used for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, stand, please. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 19. We'll read Genesis chapter 19, beginning at verse 17, and then also 2 Peter 1. So let's go Genesis 19, verse 17. We're going to read here to verse 20. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, and he said, "Escape for your life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." And Lot said to them, "Oh, not so, my lord. Behold now, your servant has found grace in your sight, and you have magnified your mercy, which you have shown unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And then in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lord, we just thank you for this time together. Bless Pastor Shibeli. Anoint these words to our ears and our hearts. We thank you, God, for your grace and your peace. We ask you, Lord, to quicken us. Lord, fill us with your spirit now, Lord. We just thank you for this place, Lord, to hear and receive and fellowship. In your name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Yeah. Good morning. It is a great morning. Number one, we're alive. Number two, we're saved. Number one, we're saved. Number two, we're alive. We have a church. Isn't that great? We have a church. We have a free country. That's amazing. Say this word with me. I'm a partaker. I'm an escaper. The only people that really escape are people who are partakers. And this is an important message from the gospel, 1 Corinthians 10:13, where it says, "There's no test or temptation that is common to man, but God will provide with every test or trial or temptation a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Aren't we glad and happy and blessed that God will never put us into any situation without a way of escape? Amen? There's always a way of escape. Now, I can take it or not take it. I can be like Lot and say, "No, Lord, can I go to this little city?" He probably would have preferred to stay in Sodom and Gomorrah, but that was going to be taken care of by God himself. And I was thinking, if I have found grace in your sight, could I go to this little city? I would like to say in my life, there is no grace for my options. There is no grace for my choice outside of God's choice. God gives grace for his purpose, for his life, for his plan. So often, and we certainly have logistical grace, I understand that. Without a doubt, the air that we breathe, the place that we live, and all that's happened, many things. But God gives grace for his purpose and for his plan. And I think this is so important. And when I am a partaker of the divine nature, that's the only way I escape the corruption that is in this world through lust. And by the way, lust is an interesting word. Sometimes it has a connotation only in one area. But lust is epithumia. What is upon my mind? Can I have an anxiety lust? Yeah? worry lust, materialistic lust, sexual lust, recognition lust, power and authority lust. I mean, you name it. There can be whatever is on the mind, what's upon the mind, that can be a controlling factor in my life and the decisions that I make. So here we have a situation where God wants to rescue Lot. Praise the Lord, we've been rescued, amen? We've been rescued by God himself. We were rescued. I preached a number of messages in the 80s in Springfield, Massachusetts about Operation Rescue, the grace of God. I think it was four Sundays in a row. Operation Rescue, the grace of God. So God wants to rescue Lot and his family. And Lot is kind of debating with God. Have you ever done that? I have. You know, I got a better plan than you, God. Don't you think you could bless the way I think it should happen? Huh? Right? Interesting. And he says, if you want to escape for your life, don't look behind. Don't even give it a look. Now, I don't know why, where you came up with that verse, but then we have Lot's wife, you know. She looked back and she became a salt shaker. Not really, just something I said maybe out of context or whatever, but she became a pillar of salt. And God has called us, saved us, and thank God for the church too, because not only have I escaped hell and death, imagine being in, I mean, did you ever study the doctrine of hell? I think there's a booklet by Dr. Stevens, isn't there? Yeah, I mean, really, and it's not one of the most desirable subjects to study for many people. But really, it shows me what God has delivered me from. Amen? He's delivered me from an eternity separated from him. And by the way, you know, you ever hear people say, as I witness the gospel to people, well, I want to go to hell, that's where all my friends are going to be, and I'll be with them. No, you won't. You'll be alone forever with all of the thoughts in your mind that you could have been saved. And it says suffering. There's a lot of theologians today and a lot of Christianity today that doesn't speak about hell, doesn't really believe in hell, doesn't want to talk about it because for some reason they wanted everything to just be bright pink in everybody's life. But it is a reality, and I'm not here to preach a message on hell this morning. I'm here to thank the Lord that we escaped. Amen? We escaped because of the person of Christ and the work of the cross. We have escaped. And sometimes we are involved in Christianity on a daily basis in our lives, and we're making decisions and we're growing. And if we're not careful, some of these truths that are so real in our lives and were at one point that gave us great joy, they seem to escape us. Rather than thinking, no matter what is taking place in my life, and yes, there are trials, yes, there are temptations, yes, there are difficulties, but I have escaped an eternity separated from God. I'm going to heaven, and so are you, amen? And escape. Don't look behind. Don't stay in the plane. See, there was no options here. Don't look behind about thinking about going back to Sodom. Don't stay in the plain, but escape to the mountain. And I love that. Escape to the mountain. This is where you're going, Lot. And so Peter, along with the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:13, God provides a way of escape. Peter says, a partaker is an escaper. A partaker is an escaper. And so as I grow as a Christian and as I get to know God, I have great opportunity every moment of every day to be a partaker of his divine nature. And I thank God so much for a ministry that elevates grace and mercy. Amen? That as we study, receive, believe, and fellowship in the grace of God, we are partakers of the divine nature. I don't want to be a partaker of my human nature, and neither do you. Are you with me? Yep. Aren't you like blessed that we have been delivered from our old sin nature? Hallelujah. Did you ever notice how it tries to creep in sometimes? Like just about every day? Huh? Just about every moment of every day, there's thoughts of the flesh, emotions attached to the flesh, the will of the flesh. Oh, but Sodom and Gomorrah, I mean, I grew up there. I like it there. What do you mean you're going to destroy it? I mean, isn't there another option? No, there's no other option. So God has made us a new person in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So I don't have to be a partaker of the old sin nature. I can be a partaker of the new man that God has made you and I to be. I think it's amazing when you look at the conversion of Moses and the conversion of David and David's life and the conversion of the Apostle Paul that God wrote, and I've said this many times, God wrote 60% of the Bible using three murderers. That's amazing. But see, these men were not going to be partakers of their old sin nature. When I become a partaker of my old sin nature, and you know, the most dangerous part of the old sin nature is the good side. We can recognize the evil, correct? Yep. Oh yeah, we know the drinking, the drugs, the crime, the divorce and adultery and things like that or whatever, not necessarily divorce, but adultery. And all of the sins of Galatians 5:19 through 21, we can readily see many of those things. But the most dangerous thing that the devil uses is the good side of the old sin nature. I'm just a good person. I give to this cause and that cause and this cause and that cause. Yeah, well, whatever. I don't want to be a partaker of the old sin nature. That's not going to help one bit in my life. I want to be a partaker of the new man, a partaker of what God has done in my life. Because that's the only way I what? What's the word? Escape. Escape the corruption. And by the way, the world is corrupt. Do you think it's nice? Such a nice world that we live in. Everybody's so nice. Everybody's so, oh, yeah, especially when you go into the countryside. You go up into Maine, you go into Pennsylvania, you go into the small villages, everybody is so nice. Then why does God say the corruption in the world? That the world is filled with corruption because if it's separated from God and people are separated from God and governments are separated from God and people are just generally not fellowshipping with God, he calls it corruption that is in this world and its ways of thinking. But we are escapers. We escaped hell and we escaped an eternity separated from God. Then I come to the church. I remember 1977 coming to the church and realizing it's another way of escape for me. You know, you can just play Christianity. You can go to church. Sometimes I would go to church and I would see the same person that was speaking to me in church, in the bar room, getting drunk. And I would say to myself, this makes, and I'm not trying to condemn anybody, I'm just saying, this makes no sense to me. How can he be talking about righteous living and godliness and be doing some things in that bar room that certainly did not reflect that at all? So I thought to myself, I need to find the church. Amen? I need to find the church that helps me to continue to do what? To escape. That as I am a partaker of the divine nature, finding a church that fellowships in the nature of God, not just in denominationalism or not just in a certain bent about Christianity, but I can find people that are partakers of the divine nature. And when I'm in that church, I what? I escape. I'm an escaper. Amen? We escape. I've had to escape a number of things in Africa, different places, even in China, and Yugoslavia and Bulgaria and Romania and a few places where I was, actually, I became very good at escaping authorities. I think it reflects a little bit on the past somewhat, but an escaper. A partaker is an escaper, but when I found this ministry, and not just this ministry, but ministries throughout our country and throughout the world, where people can enter in after salvation into a life and in a place with people who are participating and partakers of God's divine nature, and I find myself escaping. Have you ever noticed that some of the things you prayed and prayed and prayed that they would go away in your life, one day they were just gone? Hello? They're still there. Don't worry about it. Their day's coming. And you know what? God was just saying to you, you know what? It's not your prayer that takes them away. It's me who takes them away. And one time they will just disappear and you won't. Where did that thing go? Where did that habit go? Where did that way of thinking go? It's gone. And as I was partaking of God's divine nature, all of a sudden it was like scales falling off the eyes with the Apostle Paul. And we became escapers because we are partakers. We are in a church. We are in a fellowship. Look at all the bad news that's out there. Some of it anyway, okay? Don't look at it too long, though. You know how I become an escaper of all that's on? Oh, boy, I was thinking, if some people watch television all the time and the news all the time, I mean, they're just ready to, like, they're finished. Their minds can be gone. They're like, it's like another person. If I'm around people that are participating in everything that's taking place in the world, in the events of this world, and I'm talking to them for a very long time, it's very easy to become overwhelmed. But you know what? I want to be a partaker of the good news, a partaker of the gospel news. And as I'm a partaker of the gospel news, I become an escaper of everything else that's going on. Are you with me? And I know, and I'm not saying, I believe that it is our scriptural and Christian obligation to vote, but what happens is in God's hands, amen?
Amen?
Are you with me? It's not in my hand. It's in my hand to vote, but it's in God's hand what will take place, not only in the election, but in every single moment, every single hour, every month, every year, in the life that we live. It's incredible. You know, some of the most powerful churches grew rapidly under some of the most incredible governmental situations you'd ever think about. Do you know where the largest church in the world is today? China. Did you know that? They're saying 200 million born-again Christians out of 1.4 billion. Talk about repression. Talk about anti-Christian rhetoric. Yet, you can't stop the church. Amen? You can't stop the church. The church is in the hand of God. The church is a partaker of God's divine nature. And by being in the church, I escape everything that's going on in the world, which is in opposition to God. It's amazing. I become a partaker. How do I escape human reason and human thinking? It's just all over the place, isn't it? Not only is it living in me, but it's all around me. Go to universities, you get nothing but human reason and human education, human thinking, human values. How do I become an escaper of all that? I become a partaker of God's divine nature in this Bible. In this book, I read the Bible. We study the Bible. We look at the Bible. We love the Bible. We believe the Bible. We trust the Bible. We elevate the Bible. We live by the Bible. And we become a what? An escaper of the corruption that is in this world through wrong thinking. Wrong thinking. It's incredible what's going on today. How do I escape it? And God says, I provide you a, what? Way of escape. What if I don't take it? No, I'm not going to the mountain. I'm just going to hang out in this little city. Well, that little city could get it too. What happened in Sodom could happen there too. And it's really incredible. Think about it. Abraham escaped the Ur of the Chaldeans. That civilization was one of the most progressive civilizations ever. And yet God said, get thee out of thy country. Oh boy, this is a good one. Away from thy kindred and from your father's house. He's saying, Abraham, I want you to escape everything. Woo, that's a tough message, isn't it? Get out. It wasn't like, would you think about it? Would you pray about it? Would you consider it? No. Get thee out of thy country. Let's go. I want you to escape this civilization. Because in this civilization, as far as you're concerned, Abraham, you'll never get to know me. But I'm taking you out. Wow. Jacob. Remember Jacob tried to make his own way of escape by going to Uncle Laban? Remember, he's leaving the promised land. Interesting, isn't it? By the way, when he found out that he was under Laban, he realized he was under somebody worse than himself. He was having his own problems with deceit and trickery and lying, and Laban was the king of it. And all of a sudden, Jacob was under somebody. Did you ever try to escape like a job or a situation that was going on, and then you found yourself in a place that was even worse than where you left? Yeah, that happened to me a couple times. I remember that very clearly. I said, I'm out of this. I was working in a prison. I can't stand the hierarchy that was over me and the way they were, the things they were doing. And I just transferred and got a job in another place, and it was worse there. I said, well, God, thank you for teaching me a lesson. You'll never escape this kind of thing unless you come to me. Escapers, because we are partakers. How do we escape living by our feelings? We escape through the Word of God and the affections that are derived from God's Word. How do we escape the temporal? We live in that which is what? Eternal. We escape the temporal. We live in the temporal. How do we escape all the temporal things that are going on? And you say, yeah, but you're elevating and you're going into a realm where it's not practical and it's not personal. Yes, it is. I just have an eternal way of thinking, an eternal way of believing. We escape the temporal through the eternal. I want to be an escaper. But that's not going to happen unless I'm a what? Partaker. I've noticed that in Christianity, many of the same values that are in the unsaved are creeping in to Christianity. Have you ever seen that? I'm not saying, you know, that you have to study it or look at it so intently that you could almost take on the very things that you're looking at. But it's amazing. The things that are going on in the world, somehow they are creeping into the church. That's why the Bible says in 1 Peter 4:17, judgment begins at the house of God. Because God's got to purge and keep us in a place. How do we escape the unclean things that are out there? Who lives in you and me? What spirit is he? Holy Spirit. How much uncleanness is there out there? You can't even watch a commercial. If you're watching a football game or something, if you like that and whatnot, you can't even escape commercials. You got guys kissing guys on a commercial. What in the hell is that all about? Sorry, yeah, it is about hell. You gotta be joking me, kidding me. I mean, it's bad enough they got unmarried people and all the things that they're showing, how unclean it is. How unclean it is. Well, what are you going to do, have no TV in your house? Well, you know what? I don't know what the, you live unto God, and it's fine. But you know what? It's very important to know how to turn things off. That's why that clicker could be very good. You just click it off, take the batteries out, and go for a long walk. Be an escaper. Because you're a partaker. How do we escape sickness? Huh? Wow. I was thinking about it. My wife says, like, don't get too near people. I said, really? How is that going to happen? Don't get near people? I mean, so somebody could give you something from a 12-foot distance. I want to, listen, I don't want to be, you know, foolish in anything. But I also want to be a, what? Partaker of the body and Christians and ministry and life, and I believe escape. And by the way, even if I got something, Doesn't God heal?
Let's not be presumptuous. Let's not be presumptuous, you know.
Whatever. Whatever. I think I remember one time. I don't remember it. My wife does. I was 7 days unconscious. That's a virus. 7 days unconscious. All I could hear was voices. I could hear Pastor Duane's voice. I could hear my wife's voice. I could hear people praying for me. I couldn't open my eyes. I couldn't see anything. I was unconscious, but my ears were working. And it was through hearing I really believe deliverance came. Are you with me? As you are a partaker of God's divine nature, you escape. How do you escape bad habits? How do I escape anger? By being a partaker of the meekness of God. Look at how Pastor Barry has escaped. He was never actually an angry person ever, except for when he played hockey, maybe, I don't know. But he became a partaker of God's meekness. His wife is nodding, amen? He became a partaker of God's meekness, and he escaped anger. How do you become an escaper of pride? By being a partaker of the humility of God and not living in reaction and rebellion. How do you become an escaper of impatience? Anybody impatient here? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to see that because now I'm going to think that you're impatient. You became a partaker of God's what? Patience. How do you escape sorrow and aggravation? I become a partaker of the joy of the Lord, which is my what? Strength. I partake of God's joy. 17 times in Philippians, Paul uses the word rejoice or joy. He was in a miserable situation that definitely wouldn't bring joy to any natural human being. But when you become a partaker of God's joy, you'll pass through any trial and situation. Amen? How do you escape being unfaithful? You become a partaker of God's faithfulness. Even when we are faithless, he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. 2 Timothy 2:13. Stop worrying about escape. Just be a partaker. Amen? And as you're a partaker and we are partakers of God's divine nature, it's going to just go. It's gone. It escapes. It's there. It's, where'd that go? What happened? I tried for so many years to stop using narcotics. I started when I was about, 14, 15 years old. I tried everything you could think of. I read everything about it. I could not beat it. One day, Jesus took it. Amen? It was over. You know how much money is spent today on alcohol and drug addiction? Billions. Is it millions? Millions. Billions. I don't know what it is. Those numbers are so big, I can't figure them out anymore. Wow. Why don't you show people that they should just become a partaker of Jesus Christ's divine nature and they will be delivered? Be delivered. Those programs, those ideas, that life never gets any publicity. They're too busy publishing what they want to put their money into and derive their money from. And they never escape. You see people that are doing those things for decades. And they've been through every program and every situation you could think of. And they really do want to escape the life of drugs and alcohol. But they cannot do it. Because they will not be a partaker of his divine nature. Think about any area in my life. Any pattern, any problem, any habit, any difficulty, any trial, any test, any health situation, any relationship problem. By the way, how do you escape a difficult relationship? Become a partaker of your relationship with Jesus Christ, and then you give Jesus Christ to that person in that so-called difficult relationship. Amen? You become a partaker of God's life. God's life. So simply today, think about it. God help us to be partakers of the divine nature. Not run away with my own escape like Jacob. Not do what Lot says. Can I go back? Can I linger here? Can I stay here? No, escape to the mountain. Lest you be consumed. And then Peter says simply, we are partakers and we have escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. If you think there was corruption now, or there's corruption now in this world, it was the same world in Rome. It was the same place where there were 4 million people in Rome, and the Romans controlled the world for 969 years, and the church was 150 people in Rome living underground in the catacombs. And Peter writes, become a partaker of the divine nature, and you'll escape the influences of Rome, the influences of the world, the influences of the devil, the influences of the old sin nature, the influences that are always trying to circle around us and come at us. Simply today, what happens? What's a Christian school about? You learn to become a what? Partaker of the divine nature. What's Bible school all about? I become a partaker of the divine nature, His Word. What's body life all about? I become a partaker and I become an escaper. I believe that people that are not escaping are simply just not partaking. Let's continue to be in our lives partakers of the divine nature. Father, thank you today. You provide a way of escape. You said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No test or temptation that is common to man. God is faithful. He will provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I need to stop running away from God's way of escape. Trying to find my own way doesn't work. Thank you that we can escape by being a partaker. Joseph, he was a partaker. God was with him. And he could endure Egypt and all those years alone. We thank you today. We pray that you would touch our day. If you are here today or you're listening, you're viewing this in some place, are you a person that needs to escape? There's one way. Become a partaker of the divine nature. Receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Be born again today. Born again. Spiritual birth. How do we escape the flesh? The life of the Spirit. How do we escape the old sin nature? Becoming a new person. Say, Jesus, save me. Save me today. I believe in you and I receive you as my personal Savior. I'm going to become an escaper by being a partaker of your divine nature. Give me the person of the Holy Spirit. That's your prayer, whether you're online or you're watching or you're here. Acknowledge it to God. Lift your hand. Say yes to God. Jesus, save me. Save me. There's no other way. There's no way of escape other than Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, that we are people who have been partakers and escapers. Bless our time today, 11 o'clock service, 6:30 tonight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.